Good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of everyone helping to lead worship this morning, whether we're joining one another in the sanctuary, or whether we're worshiping together on the church's live stream, I welcome you to our time together. May each of us encounter the hope and the promise of Easter in a fresh and new life-giving way. As we begin our time in worship together, we should highlight some announcements about the life of our church. And with that, I'm going to hand things off to Tyler Morris, who has an announcement about an upcoming concert at the church. Tyler?
Good morning. We have a few concerts coming up, the first of which is May 9th. It's on the screen behind me here. This is the King's Brass. This is our Curry concert this year, and it is going to be spectacular. You may be familiar with the King's Brass. They've been to town before, but only at the Midland Center. And so we're happy to host them here this time, and it's going to be a spectacular concert. We also have a few other concerts coming up. We have, over the course of our summer, we have our Next Generation concert series, the first of which is June 8th, and that's going to feature choral scholars from the area, particularly the ones within our own choir are going to be featured as well. And so that's going to be a series of solo pieces, and it's going to be really fun and spectacular. We're looking at a whole variety of music to perform for that. So there's going to be something for everybody. The next one on July 13th, is the Second Act Opera Company. This is a newer group, and they are based out of Grand Rapids. It's going to be really, really good, and it's going to be more than just, you know, your typical opera. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff for us, and it's going to be really great. And then we're closing that with August 10th, Brenda Portman is going to be here. She's an organist, and she teaches in Cincinnati, and she is just amazing. She's going to be performing a concert entirely of her own settings and arrangements and compositions, and that is going to be a really spectacular finish to the Next Generation concert series this summer. So please come to May 9th to the Curry concert, the Curry Memorial concert, and come to these concerts throughout the summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler, for sharing those opportunities to share good music here at the church. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor with an announcement about graduation Sunday in May. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, we will have our graduation Sunday on May 18th, so I invite you to come to that to celebrate our graduates as we worship together. Likewise, if you know of someone who is graduating in your family, I invite you to let us know, either by calling the office or sending an email. We would love to feature their names in the bulletin to celebrate their accomplishments. Thank you.
Thank you. Finally, a special welcome to those of you who are guests with us today. We're grateful that you would choose to spend part of your Easter with us this morning. A few helpful notes for the service. The closest restrooms to the sanctuary are towards the back and down the stairs. If stairs are a concern, we have a more accessible restroom that is located in the parlor, which you will find by exiting the sanctuary at the back and then turning to the right. For our families with children, earlier in the service, we'll invite our children who wish to come forward for a children's blessing. Afterwards, they may either go to Sunday school with Hillary, who is our children and youth director, or they may wish to return to sit with you. There is a nursery that is available this morning for those from birth to 3 years old. If you need directions to the nursery, I invite you to ask one of our ushers at the back. If your child is with you in worship and they might need a little bit more room to move around, as I do up here, We invite you to the parlor where the service is live streamed. You'll also find a shelf of toys and puzzles for them if you wish. And also, we invite you to see our ushers at the back if you need any other sort of assistance this morning during our worship service. Once again, I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are our guests this morning. With all this, we are going to share in a time of greeting one another. I'll invite you to stand and invite you to remain standing for the call to worship afterwards. Our friend Meredith this Easter morning will call us back together with the ringing of our bell. So I invite you to stand and to greet one another this morning.
Please remain standing and join me for the call to worship and remain standing afterwards for the hymn. May our weeping cease. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Come, let us worship the living God, the King of the universe. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
As you are able, let us remain standing and join one another in our opening hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. You'll find this on page 302 of the hymnal, or on the screen in front of you, and we will be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you.
Good morning. So, I think today's Easter. Oh, okay, good. It's Easter. Let's think about the church Easter. What is it about? What? Did you have a good Easter so far? Okay, what are some things we do to celebrate Easter? What do we have?
Go find eggs in our backyards and front yards.
Eggs. Okay. I happen to have an egg in my pocket. Let's think about eggs. Remember how we have taught that Jesus came to turn the world upside down, to teach us God's ways of love, grace, and mercy. So here's an egg.
That's a big egg.
It's got something in it. Sounds kind of fun. Is it candy? Is it a toy? Is it a dollar bill?
Better be money.
Oh, it's my favorite candy. I'm putting it back in my pocket.
What is it?
Oh, what my favorite candy is? Okay. Oops. Sorry, Weston. I have another one right here. It's silent.
Oh, then there's money.
Let's open it.
There's money.
There's a no in it. There's a no in it.
Oops.
Oh, there's just nothing.
It's empty. Oh, but you know. Exactly. Say that again right into my microphone.
Like Jesus' tomb.
That's exactly right. It's even better. It's empty like the tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus is still turning the world upside down. Jesus is alive. We're going to pray now, and I invite everyone, not just the people up here, to shout alleluia when the prayer invites it. Dear God, thank you for sending your son. We shout alleluia for dying on the cross to forgive our sins. We shout alleluia for raising Jesus up to a new life. We shout hallelujah for Jesus giving us a new life. We shout hallelujah for Jesus filling our hearts with his love. We shout hallelujah for today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you who are going to Sunday school, join us. If you're going to go back and sit with your parents or grandparents, that's fine. But we welcome everyone. Okay, we're going to go that way.
Therefore, let
we come to a time of offering. I want to let you know this morning that our offering today goes to New Heart Mission Church in Saginaw. They have some unique mission ministries that seek to serve the people of Saginaw and bring the love and hope of Christ to them. If the ushers will please come forward. I would also like to let you know that whether you have an envelope that says Easter on it or not, we would like for you to mark special offering so that we know that you would like your offering to go to New Heart this morning. God, we thank you that indeed ours is the cross, the grave, and the skies, because Christ is risen indeed. Lord, I pray that these gifts would be used to further your kingdom for our good and your glory, and that you would indeed be glorified in the way that these are used. We love you, God, and we thank you for all that you've given us. We know that all that we have to give is all that you have already given to us. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Show of hands, if you will. Raise your hands if you're growing up with or have grown up with siblings. Any of us here? All right. I see some of you who are growing up in our church with siblings or have grown up in our church with siblings. I see you. How about if you've grown up with a cousin who's about your age? Yeah, anyone? Yep, absolutely. Or perhaps you have a friend who may as well have been a sibling. Any of us here? Absolutely. Oh, this is a good sign. Many of you will likely be able to relate well with what I'm about to share. I'm the middle son of three siblings. Yes, the middle son, the forgotten one, the negotiator and peacemaker, the loyal one in the mix. I'm in the middle with an older brother, three years older than me, and a younger sister who is 3 years younger than me. Growing up, if I'm being entirely truthful, even to some extent today, life was constantly a competition. Looking back at childhood, it seems like there was always something to wrestle over or to get in a race for. At first, I imagine we wrestled over toys or a favorite stuffed animal. For a season of life, I know that we fought over the one chair in the entire family room that directly faced the television. And most memorably, as we got old enough, and as the world was not yet dangerous, too dangerous to run in parking lots, I remember the race to the car, be it for the front seat or just bragging rights for the day. I suppose you don't even have to have siblings to know what I'm talking about. Perhaps all it takes is raising an 11-year-old. See, on the occasions when my family and I take our Labrador Retriever out for a walk, more often than not, these walks end up in a race between my 11-year-old son and me. A race to see who can end up at the top of the drive first. Being the parent, admittedly, I leverage my role and my age to set the rules. So rule number one, no running. No running, because usually I lack the energy to want to break out into an all-out sprint. And rule number two, we'll use the end of the sidewalk on Siebert before turning into our court as the starting line. And this way I can get a head start before my son knows it. So with these rules in place, we leave my wife and dog behind to make sense of the commotion. We break out in my best impression of an Olympic speed walker with my son doing his best to catch up, decrying my false start. Before I know it, we're in an all-out sprint. Rule number one is out the window, and I'm giving thanks for my adult-sized strides, otherwise I would not be able to keep up. But why do we do this? Why do we do this? Whether it's parent and child, or as siblings. We do this all for a bit of hubris, yes? A bit of pride. Which is why the start of John's account of Jesus' resurrection might catch our attention this Easter morning. In particular, verses 3 and 4. After all, we emerge from Good Friday, when Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, though he was so in the shadows because of his fear of the Jews, we emerge with Joseph having had the courage to ask Pilate for Jesus' lifeless body, with Jesus having been crucified on a cross. And it's Joseph joined by Nicodemus, who also came alongside Jesus in secret. It's Joseph and Nicodemus who lays Jesus' body in a buried tomb. So in John's gospel, Mary Magdalene, another follower of Jesus whom he had healed, is among those first to arrive at the tomb on Easter morning. It's then and there that Mary discovers that the stone used to seal the tomb had been rolled away, which leads her to do what? To run and go find Simon Peter, and then find the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. The consensus being that this other disciple is John, the author of this gospel, the author of this account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so in John chapter 20, verse 3, we have Simon Peter and John setting out to see for themselves what Mary had reported, to see for themselves the stone that had been rolled away, to see for themselves if indeed the tomb was empty. And it's in verse 4 that John writes, the two were running together, but the other disciple, in other words, John is saying, it's me. It's me, John, who outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Are you kidding me? Really, here at the very pinnacle of your gospel, here at the very turning point of God's salvation and all of humanity, it's here that John is going to throw in that he reached the tomb first. It seems that John might as well have thrown in that he had also beaten his brother James to the scene. In fact, in the moment, it seems that John has lost sight of what's most important. Of Jesus' sacrificial death. Losing sight of God overcoming hell and death. That is, the powers that try to destroy life and hope. That John has lost sight even of Jesus being raised by God from the dead. All to report that he came in first. Perhaps all for a bit of hubris or a little bit of pride. Which, in an odd and redeeming way, is very comforting. After all, the disciples' foot race and the other disciples' response are a reminder among several that we don't have to suspend reality of our humanity when showing up on Easter and at the empty tomb of Jesus. It's a quiet reminder that there's room for us. That perhaps there's room for pride. And if we read on in John's gospel, there's room for much more. Even on that Easter morning, there's room for fear and trepidation. There's room for not fully understanding the scriptures or not understanding what had happened. There's room for the muted response of Peter and John. There's room for Mary's grief. There's room for Mary not to recognize that Jesus is so near. There's room for wanting to hold on to the past even while God has already moved on to doing something new. There's room for all of this on the part of Peter, John, and Mary. And still, the power and hope of God's grace overcoming darkness and death prevailed, as it still does today. No, there's no need for us to suspend reality this Easter morning. There's no need for us to leave our humanity at bay. Instead, our Lord invites us to bring all that comes with being us into the light of his empty tomb and the power and transforming and hope of Jesus Christ. Dora Greenwell, who is a poet, essayist, and Christian writer from the 1800s, wrote the following in her essay, The Patience of Hope. Quote, "The Christian ideal, in other words, the hope of Christ, alone meets the habitual, the practical, meets it while immeasurably transcending it, embraces it, and walks with it hand in hand. The Christian must be friends with every day, with its narrow details, its homely atmosphere, Is there not the very life core of Christianity in this picture? The broken tomb and the risen Christ. The angels in the shining garments. The linen cloths folded and laid in place by themselves. End quote. In other words, our greatest hope in Christ goes hand in hand with the everyday. Even the empty tomb of Christ on Easter morning and the shining garments of angels don't escape the lingering presence of cloths that were used to embalm the lifeless body of Jesus just days ago. So this Easter, with our race to the Easter tomb, what do you bring? What are you bringing in our race to the Easter tomb? Might it be the milieu and minutiae of the everyday? As Greenwell puts it, the habitual and the practical. Might you be bringing to the Easter tomb a need for calm amid today's anxieties? Might you be crying out for yourself or others for justice amid injustice, for mercy amid cruelty? Might you be bringing a need for humility in the face of pretense? Today, might there be the need to bring grief, even as we sing Hallelujah. Might it be the need for forgiveness in the wake of brokenness? Or might it be a desire for a genuine sense of connection, even though you never find yourself alone? Whatever you bring this Easter, whether it's joy or weariness, hope or doubt, whatever it is you bring this Easter morning, race with it to the tomb, knowing that the good news of resurrection isn't for those who have it all together and all figured out. Instead, it's more so for those who seek God's best. And all that God brings us. Amen. 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 Friends, on this Easter morning, as we gather together in prayer, we wish to extend as a church our sympathies to Michelle and Brad Barr and their family. Thank you. with the passing of Brad's mother, Lou Barr, who passed away last week in Peoria, Illinois. And so we lift up Brad and Michelle and Kirsten and Shannon and their family in our prayers this morning. And here on Easter morning, we celebrate new life. One of our families, the recent birth of Eliza Rosalie Milligan, who was the daughter of Stephanie and Jason, and the younger sister who has many races she doesn't even know of, with Alec and Violet. So let us pray. Indeed, O God, we give you thanks for the alleluias of Easter morning. We give you thanks that they continue to resound today in our music and in our praise, in your word and in our prayers. Most of all, we give you thanks that today's alleluias resound in our everyday, that they are to be heard by us if we would listen amidst all that life brings. That which breaks our hearts, that which we grieve, like the Barr family, with the passing of Brad's mother. And so may they hear our alleluias. And indeed, O God, we hear your reasons for alleluia as you welcome new life into our families and into the church. We rejoice indeed with Eliza's birth and celebrate the overflowing joy of Stephanie and Jason and of Alec and Violet. And indeed, O God, we hear your alleluias in the world today. Yes, where there is conflict and where there is brokenness, knowing that your redeeming grace is at work. And yes, where your kingdom is breaking through, we see the light that is possible in you. So bring that light into our Easter, we pray. Bring that life-changing light into our day-to-day, that others might hear this good news. All this we pray in your Son's name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
and the glory forever. Amen.
As you are able, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, that we might sing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns, again on the screen in front of you, or on page 327 of our hymnal. Admit that what's stuck in my mind still is our children's blessings, right? In the very end where Hillary had the children and the congregation say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And y'all might have heard that one little voice in the pack who towards the end was ready to say it, right? Hallelujah. We're ready to say Hallelujah on Easter morning, yes? There's also the invitation to say hallelujah in our everyday. Whether they're moments of triumph, where light overcomes darkness, where life overcomes brokenness. But there's opportunity every day to say hallelujah. Because Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.